The common wisdom used to be that wine is the drink for connoisseurs, beer is a populist beverage. Michael Jackson became famous for writing as seriously about the subtleties of beer as wine experts did about the grape. He was considered the world's leading consumer writer on beer and was credited with helping start the microbrewery craze in the U.S. He wrote best-selling books and did a popular British TV series called The Beer Hunter. Jackson also loved single malt scotch, drinking it and writing about it. Jackson died of a heart attack last week at the age of 65. He'd had Parkinson's disease for about 10 years. We're going to listen back to an interview with Jackson, recorded in 1991.
I think I'm typical of a lot of Americans in the sense that I drink my share of beer, but I know very little about how it's made. And it's really easy for me to visualize the making of wine, even though I know very little about that, too, because, you make the grapes into a liquid and they ferment. But I don't understand how beer is made out of malt. I mean, I've really never understood that. I don't mean malt. I mean barley.
Well, let's see what we do mean.
What do we mean?
The two are very, very... Wine and beer are made by very, very similar processes. They are.
But you don't step on barley.
Well, you can if you want to. It doesn't do you an awful lot of good. I mean, really, wine is a less sophisticated product because you can just step on the grapes and get the juice out of them, and the juice will ferment as a result of the wild yeast that was on the skins, and then you'll have your wine. And your winemaker then tells you, if you don't like it, well, tough, it wasn't a very good year, you know, which brewers never tell you. Wine is made out of fruit, and the fruit is usually the grape. Yeah. It doesn't have to be. Beer is made out of grain, and the grain is usually barley, but it doesn't have to be. Other grains are used to some extent, especially wheat. In order to get the natural fermentable sugars out of the grape, all you have to do is crush it. In order to get the natural fermentable sugars out of the grain, you have to soak it in water so that it begins to sprout, and then let it sprout for about a week. And at that point, that the sprouting of it is at the optimum, and you want to then stabilize it. So you stabilize it by heat. And that process, the process of taking grains, sprouting them, and arresting the sprouting by drying, is the process of malting. So when you've done that to barley, you've got barley malt. When you've done it to wheat, you've got wheat malt. We just usually just call it malt. Malt is the real, what grapes are to wine, barley malt or wheat malt is to beer.
Some people say that you won't get as hungover with scotch as you will with beer or wine. What's your experience?
My experience, I regret to say, is to the contrary. I have a very definite belief about hangovers, which is essentially that the blander the product is, the less likely you are to get a hangover from it. And the fuller in flavor it is, not fuller in body, but fuller in flavor it is, probably more complex in flavor, probably the greater your chance of getting a hangover. That's all of my experience, and I believe it to be true, and I believe it to be based on the fact that the natural chemical compounds that occur in fine wines, fine beers, single malt scotches that make them complex and interesting, unfortunately may also give you a hangover if you drink too much of them. There was some British writer who said he felt sorry for people who didn't wake up with a hangover because that was as good as they were going to feel all day. I just throw that little philosophical thought into our discussion.
Do you get hungover much, or are you such the professional at drinking that you never overdrink?
Well, I very rarely drink too much. That maybe makes me sound like a bit of a party pooper, but when I'm working, I'm drinking to taste these products, so I'm certainly not chugging them. When I do get a hangover, I suffer miserably from hangovers, and there's no real cure. I mean, you can drink a lot of water before you go to bed, but you probably don't remember to do that. The most important thing to do if you have a hangover, really, is to do something about your blood sugar level in the morning, and the best thing to do is to, you really have to eat something, however little you feel like eating something. You really must eat something. You must force yourself to eat something. Something like toast and honey is very good. Or I think my sort of classic Jewish recipe, although it's a Jewish recipe for everything, of course, is chicken soup. But chicken soup is very good for getting rid of a hangover.
Even for breakfast, huh?
Well, depends how late you lay in, I suppose.
How did you get involved with being a professional beer writer, especially given that so few people have focused on beer as compared to wine?
Originally, I was a hard news journalist and then a columnist, and for a time a television journalist too. And all my buddies, they all drank beer. Journalists all drank beer. They all loved it. They all talked about it incessantly among themselves. Do you think this one's better than one we had last night? You know, I was on an assignment in such a city and I had this one, and wow, you should taste that. They were fascinated with beer, yet when it came to the idea of trying to persuade the newspaper or the magazine or the TV station to actually do something about beer, they would say, oh, well, people aren't interested in that.
I mean, to cover it.
Yes, even though they were all interested in it themselves, they somehow thought that their readers out there had a quite different perception. And I always felt that it was very odd that people loved drinking beer and then went off to write articles about wine. So I was always trying to... I was a sort of guerrilla warrior, even in those days, trying to get stories about beer into the paper. Very often, the only way around doing that was to actually ostensibly write about pubs and sort of sneak in the beer information. The pub was the Trojan horse, and you snuck in the beer information inside that Trojan horse. And eventually, somebody asked me to write a book on pubs, and really halfway through writing the book, I mean, I accepted the assignment and the book eventually was published and everybody was happy with it. But halfway through, I'd realized I really wanted to write a book about beer.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you one final question. Are you tired of people making Michael Jackson jokes, you know, about the singer versus you?
Well, I guess if I'm not used to it now, I never will be.
What's your standard comeback on that?
Well, it depends precisely what the joke is, but, you know, I like to point out to people that I had the name first. I've considered writing to the other Michael Jackson saying that for a very small royalty, I'll license my name to him. Otherwise, I'll sue him for stealing my name. I'm a terrible dancer, but I can sing. I think when I sing rather more black people's music than he does, because I'm a lover of the blues, so... I even have a glove, right, which I occasionally use just for a little joke.
Oh, really?
Tasting glove, you know, to put a bit of glitter into my beer.
Well, Michael Jackson, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Michael Jackson recorded in 1991. He died last week at the age of 65. You can download podcasts of our show by going to our website, freshair.npr.org.